When you sang the third line of this last song, More About Jesus, did you really notice that third line? More about Jesus in His Word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing His voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. How often we sing through things like that and really don't think about how meaningful that is. We've been talking about the subject of understanding God's Word. To the Christian, when you sing a line like that in the songbook, it is really meaningful. We just read in Deuteronomy chapter 8, God was trying to make them understand that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Today, when we think about understanding the Scriptures, communion with God's Word is communion with God. Because this is where we find out about God. We find out, for example, here in the Old Testament about the very nature and character of God, the greatness of God and the power. But you find out also about the kind of loving care that He demonstrated towards Israel. The kind of undying love that He had for them. It didn't stop God from loving Israel when they did all of the things that they did. He kept right on trying to get them to understand how important it was to stay faithful to Him. And yet today, when people talk about the Bible, and if they really give it any consideration, they are asking questions: can we understand the Bible, and can we understand it alike, and things like that? Or is truth subjective, so that whatever one person believes is as good as what another person believes or other beliefs? And how important are knowledge and understanding of truth, and is it possible to understand the Bible alike? What does it mean to interpret the Bible? These are all questions that people are asking. Do religious division and confusion really matter to God? Does the Bible contradict itself? Will God accept everyone who is sincere and has a good conscience? We know how a lot of people approach the Bible. Many people believe that truth is just something that's subjective, that it's, especially when you're talking about religion. And I think religion in that respect is a lot like politics. Everybody has an opinion, but I wonder sometimes if they have any basis for that opinion. When we talk about truth being subjective, what do we mean by that? What do people mean? It means that some think that whatever you believe to be true, to you it is true. So every person essentially has his own truth about things. Now, what another person believes to be true, that's true for him. Well, that sounds really good. But if everybody has his own truth, even if it does flatly contradict other people's truths, you really have a whole lot of chaos, don't you? You have confusion, you have misunderstanding, you don't have agreement, you don't have unity. And yet people are trying to call it unity and say we need to unite and everybody can go to heaven the way they want to. That's not what we get when we deal with the Word of God. For years, people have used this idea to justify disagreements and contradictions between denominations. One person sees the Bible one way and another sees it differently. One interpretation's as good as another. I know you've heard all of this. And as long as you just honestly practice what you believe the Bible says, then God is going to be pleased. Well, that only works in people's minds. It doesn't work in God's mind. And it's not what God requires of us. What I want us to think about for a moment this evening is to examine the idea that one belief or one interpretation of the Bible is as good as another. Just think about what that means. Obviously, there are so many different views of the Bible that it's impossible to count them. But is it possible? Is it possible that we may be lost, even though we follow a view of the Bible that we sincerely believe to be true? How are we going to find out about things like that? Can God be understood? Now, we really need to think about this from the standpoint of, can God make himself understood? Can God give us something that man can understand? What does the scripture say about this? Well, that's why we read in the beginning from Deuteronomy 8, because Jesus uses this same expression in Matthew 4. You remember how the devil was tempting him. He'd been drawn into the wilderness. And he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." The devil had just said to him, command these stones to become bread. But Jesus knew there was something far more important than that. He knew that real living is rooted in obedience to God's word. He had come down from heaven to do not his will, but the Father's will. And he knew that people needed to succumb to the Father's will. And that's the kind of example that he is setting here. And instead of being satisfied with temporal desires or satisfying a temporal desire, like commanding these stones to be made bread because he's hungry, he doesn't do that. He does something else. He answers the devil with this passage. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. When he said that, he said something that had been true for all of these years. Every word that comes from the mouth of God is important. It's not something we can afford to just cast aside. And he's trying to get man to understand how important God's word is. God's message to man is his very life. This is how we really live. Living for God is a whole lot different than just getting by. Like we look at the world sometimes. Well, how are you doing? Well, I'm just getting by. Not excited about anything. In fact, most of the time we're pretty bitter about the way things have gone. A lot of times things didn't happen the way we wanted it to happen. So as a result of that, we're just getting by. That's not the disposition of the person in that song, is it? Holding communion with my Lord, understanding and appreciating every line, every word that God has to say, and realizing just how important this is. You think Jesus would have said this because he really didn't care how God or how man felt towards God? He didn't say it for that reason at all. Over in Matthew 22, when he's talking to the Sadducees about the resurrection, he said, "You're wrong because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God." He's telling them how important it was to pay attention to what God had said. Now, they thought they knew God's word. But the Lord is telling them, "You are wrong about what you believe." They didn't believe in the resurrection. And Jesus is telling them, "I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob." So there's no question that what he was saying to them was telling them that they were wrong and that they needed to change and they needed to pay better attention to the word of God. Now, in John 20, he states very clearly his purpose. The purpose of God's word is this. Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Man shall not live by bread alone. Don't focus your attention here on these physical things. Yes, I understand very well, and so do you, that bread's necessary for life. Food's necessary for life here on this earth. But there's something that transcends that. Life in heaven, life, the spiritual life that God came to give, that's what this is really all about. And this is just a step along the road. So believing that you might have life in his name is important. And the only way to have that life is to pay attention to God's word. Over in Nehemiah 8 and verse 8, they read from the book, from the law of God clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. God made sure that they understood what his word was. This was in Nehemiah's day after they came back from the captivity. And upon doing that, they needed to understand how important God's message to them was. They had been punished because they wouldn't listen and because they'd rebelled against God. And now God wants them to understand once more that they need to realize and pay attention to what God's word's all about. So as a result of that, this is what they were doing. They read from the book of the law and they gave the sense. They interpreted for those individuals what they needed to know. And they understood the reading. The scriptures imply that individuals can understand. The citizens of the city of Berea were considered to be nobler than those in Thessalonica because they received the word of God with all readiness of mind, examining the scriptures daily to determine the accuracy of what they were being taught. They didn't just read through it and throw it on the coffee table. In fact, so many people today may buy one and never look at it. They may have Bibles in their house and never look at them. God's word is here with a purpose, that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God and believing have life in his name. These individuals understood how important it was to interpret the scriptures, to read them and to understand what they were reading, and then to apply the things. They were holding communion with the Lord. They knew what God said and what God wanted them to do, so they examined those scriptures daily. And they determined the accuracy of what they were being taught. And when they understood that this was the truth, then they obeyed it. And they obeyed it from the heart because they wanted to learn what God said. So, what does it mean to interpret the scriptures? A proper interpretation requires giving a true and faithful explanation of the real meaning and the intent of the original passage. The word interpret simply means just that, to set forth the meaning of, to explain. We understand how important it is to translate something from a foreign language, don't we? We may get a bottle of medicine and it's written in Spanish. Well, that's not going to do us much good, is it? Unless we find somebody that can interpret that and tell us what it says. And once we learn what it says, then we know what to do. People all the world have the Bible in their own language. Just as it was in Acts chapter 2, when those apostles are empowered by the Holy Spirit to proclaim the message. Those people that were gathered there from all of those different countries that are listed there in Acts chapter 2 heard what those men taught in their own language, their native language, the one they were born in. So there wasn't any question about understanding the Word of God. They understood it. And even though they understood it, only 3,000 of them decided to obey it. But thanks be to God, God had made it possible for them to understand what it was. Now, in any of this, we have a choice, don't we? We can take God's word and we can enjoy communing with God, or we can close it up, put it down, never worry about looking at it, and go on with our lives here in this world. But the sad thing about that is that's all the life we're going to have. He's talking about life eternal. He's talking about the life that's in the Son of God, the life that only God can give. That's what we're talking about here when we interpret. Now, the interpreter may express the same meaning of the words in a different language, and the people understand that. But if the interpreter gives a different meaning, what happens here? Then his interpretation is inaccurate and it is wrong. So provided one gives the same meaning as in the original language, as we go back and we study the Greek language or the Hebrew language, well, it doesn't mean anything much to us when we look at that language. But when we have it translated into English, then we begin to understand what's written here. And that's why it is so important. We cannot change the meaning of the original expression, and those who interpret the Bible are not allowed to do that. And yet so often people simply will not accept what the meaning is. To change the meaning or to express a different meaning would be improper interpretation. Now, when people look at this and they say, one interpretation of the Bible is as good as another, it is so important that we learn what one particular language means and we learn how to utilize it. And yet here they are saying that when you get to the Bible, that's not important. It really doesn't matter how you interpret the Bible. And that statement is nearly always made to justify people who defend conflicting and contradictory views of the Bible. This is clear from the way that people make that statement. For example, one person may say that baptism is immersion, something that he learned from the Bible. And another person may say that, well, I believe that sprinkling and pouring are also baptism. Well, they didn't bother to consider the word, did they? Because when you look the word up, the word's immersion. And in Romans chapter 6, you also understand that this is the only figure that totally complies with what we're reading here in the Bible. And then someone comes along and says, well, it really isn't all that important. It's all just a matter of interpretation. Yes, it is. It's a matter of interpretation, all right. But in most cases, it's the wrong interpretation that people are basing their lives on. And I'm talking about their spiritual well-being. People are saying that truth is subjective and it varies from person to person. God's saying, no, the truth is here. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father except by me. So the real question that we're looking at is, may people get conflicting and contradictory beliefs and doctrines and practices from the Bible, yet all in their minds is pleasing to God? How do people come away with that kind of an idea? We understand what interpret means, and yet that's not what we want to do when we talk about the Bible. We want to interpret the Bible to agree with us, to agree with what we believe or what we want. Well, does the Bible contradict itself? When we find these different beliefs, somebody's going to ask that question. Did you learn that out of the Bible? Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that guy didn't learn it from the Bible. And that person didn't learn that. He's saying he learned something else. If the Bible actually contradicts itself, people could properly interpret the Bible and end up disagreeing with one another. And yet, simply because the Bible disagrees with itself, if that's the case. But there are no contradictions in the Bible. That's where that interpretation comes along. Jesus said it like this. He said, if a kingdom's divided against itself, that kingdom can't stand. This is exactly what you have when one person's saying this and another person is saying something different that Jesus taught. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan is risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but he's coming to an end. This is the way Jesus answered that question. And common sense tells us that. We realize that chaos and confusion is going to be the result. And that's why there's so many different ideas and beliefs in the religious world today. And all of those things simply cannot be right, because they do not teach the same thing. No, the Bible doesn't contradict itself. You know, we understand this in the world today. If a person works against himself, how's he going to accomplish anything? When parents give contradictory instructions, how are kids going to know what to do? If a mechanic fixes your car so it tries to go into forward and reverse at the same time, what are you going to have? You're not going to get anywhere very fast, are you? If God contradicts himself, if he teaches people to believe and practice opposite things at the same time, how can he expect man to accomplish his purpose? Why would he go to such detail to make sure that the word is here and that the word is understandable? He says very clearly in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33 that he's not the author of confusion, he's the author of peace. God doesn't want people to misunderstand, he wants them to understand. is the existence of all of these different doctrines, these different ideas, is that confusion? Yes, of course it is. If proper Bible interpretation leads to all of these contradictions, then who'd be to blame for that that confusion? It would be God. But God doesn't work that way. He's the source of peace. He's the source of understanding. He's the source of knowledge. God is not responsible for conflicting Bible interpretations. He never wanted that. And that's shown very clearly by the way he answers the devil. It necessarily follows that God's word has a true and a correct meaning. The Bible doesn't contradict itself, and since it does not, then when we interpret it correctly, we're not going to contradict each other, are we? We're going to be united. Conflicting explanations are not correct. They are not true. There must be agreement. And since contradictory views are not from God, then they must be from men. And Jesus even makes this point in Matthew 15 and verse 9, that your worship is vain. When you worship me with the doctrines of men, it's no good. You're not worshiping me at all. You're just doing what you want. Paul taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that Christ is not divided. Paul was not crucified for us. Christ is not divided. We're not baptized in the name of Paul, he goes on to add. He doesn't conflict. He doesn't disagree with himself, as we can clearly see. To say that Jesus contradicts himself would be to say that he's either ignorant or hypocritical. Either he's not intelligent enough to know that he contradicts himself, or else he's so morally bankrupt that he does it on purpose. Both views are blasphemous. But if Jesus does not contradict himself, then people who properly understand what he says are not going to contradict each other either. And if people do contradict one another, and most certainly they do, it must be because someone misunderstands what Jesus said. God's will for man's salvation, as revealed here in the scriptures, is unified and it's harmonious within itself. It does not contradict itself. It has a real and true meaning such that all understand its meaning will understand it alike. All who understand its meaning will understand it alike. When people disagree about its meaning, we should conclude not that they both have equally valid interpretations, but that somebody's wrong, and maybe both of them are wrong. Somebody has misunderstood, somebody has misinterpreted what Jesus has said. Is it necessary to understand the Bible? A lot of people don't think so. They stop right there. They don't think it's necessary to understand. Could it be that God does not really care that we understand his word? Why would he have gone to the lengths that he went to? And why has he made sure that he's preserved that all down through the centuries so that we can read and study the very same message that they heard on Pentecost, for example, or that what Nehemiah was teaching those people out of the Old Testament there, Nehemiah and all of those scribes? Well, perhaps one interpretation of the Bible is as good as another, because God accepts everybody regardless of whether or not they understand the Bible. Well, that's man talking. But what about God? God stresses the importance of knowing the truth. Since God's word has true meaning, how important is it for us to understand that true meaning? It's very important, isn't it? In Ephesians 5 and verse 17, he said, we should not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be unwise. Don't be foolish here. Understand what the will of the Lord is. So God has a will for man, and he expects us to learn what that will is. In John 8, verses 31 and 32, he points out again the importance of knowing the truth, because we have to know the truth in order to be set free. Set free from what? Set free from sin. Because, as we've been studying on Wednesday evening in Romans, we are the slaves to sin. Sin is a terrible taskmaster. Sin pays the wages that's known as death. We have to learn better than this. We all need to be free from sin because we've all committed sin, and the wages of sin is eternal death. It's not just death in this life, it's death in all of that which is to come. It's eternal separation from God, and God's word is truth, John 17 and verse 17, and the only truth that can set us free from sin. But Jesus said, truth frees us only if we know the truth. And God has given us that truth to know. If someone does not know the truth but believes error, is he saved from sin? If someone gives him the wrong interpretation of the word, is he saved from sin? No. Not only is he not saved, but unless he knows the truth, he cannot be. This is why knowing the truth is so important. Knowing the truth enables us to be set free from sin, and only truth can do that. To be purified from sin, we must be born again by obeying the truth of God's word. This new life in Christ is so important for people. Being born again. In 1 Peter 1, verses 22 and 23, he talks about this new life. He talks about being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. And in Luke, he had talked about how the seed is the word of God. And when it sprouts in the minds of individuals, it brings them to a knowledge and to an understanding of what they can do in order to be saved. But again, you can't obey this truth if you don't know it. In the parable of the sower, he tells us very clearly that the seed is the word. And he wants it to grow in the hearts and lives of men. And a person is doomed to eternal death if he doesn't allow that to happen. But so many just simply shut it out, don't they? Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. And this means that we're doomed. There's a great danger in not knowing the truth. See what Peter said, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth. We must know what the truth is. For a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable or incorruptible, through the living and abiding word of God. God wants that word to dwell in you, to abide in your mind, and to give direction to your life. We simply cannot afford to be without God's truth. We must pay attention to it. But there's great danger if we do not. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 1. You know, we wonder about all of these conflicting interpretations of the Bible today. If all of these are correct, if all of these are acceptable to God, if they are, then it really wouldn't matter. But to God it does matter. And this is what the Bible says about it. I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Paul says there really isn't another gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we are an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Paul said, I'm not going to preach anything different than what I've already preached to you. And neither are these other inspired people. They're telling you the truth in God's word. And as we've said before, so say I now again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For I'm now seeking the approval, of men or of God? Now that's a really good question, isn't it? And that's one that everybody needs to be asking. When it comes to a matter of God's word, am I seeking to please men? Am I doing what I want? Am I doing what other men want? Am I interpreting this the way I want it? Am I going to the Bible to prove something I believe is true? What am I doing here? Am I trying to please men or am I trying to please God? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. You cannot be a servant of Christ if you're still trying to please yourself. If you're still trying to please what someone else is teaching you. A person is accursed, Paul said, if he preaches different doctrine, that which is different from the true gospel of Jesus Christ. As I said, there is grave danger. Is the Bible impossible to understand? No, it's not impossible. Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 says, when you read, you can understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And in particular, you can understand his message there about the Gentiles becoming Christians. Well, God's word accomplishes his purpose. We learn from Isaiah that God doesn't think like we do. We need to learn to think like God. It's really important that we do that. No, the Bible's not impossible to understand. God has sent his word in order to accomplish his purpose in the hearts and lives of each man, each person. He wants people to be saved. He wants them to come to a knowledge of the truth. He doesn't desire that any should be lost. God's testimony enlightens men, and it makes them wise, the psalmist said in Psalms 19. David calls it a lamp unto his pathway, a light that enables him to see. See what? See how to navigate. See how to get through this world and still have life with God. That's the light in the souls and hearts of men. Jesus commanded his audience in Mark 7 and verse 14 to listen and to understand what he was telling them, because it was so important that he did. And the scriptures are inspired to profitably teach us. Now, in 2 Corinthians 4, Paul says, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. If people are not believing this truth, that God has gone to all of this, such great lengths to make sure that man has the truth, and yet they're not believing it, what's happened? Somehow or other, the devil is able to blind their mind. Sometimes it's with false teachers. Sometimes it's with any number of different ways for people to be blinded this way. When you look in 2 Corinthians, you learn a lot about the devil and about the way that he works and how he disguises himself as an angel of light, Paul says. And in doing things like this, he is confusing individuals. But God is giving us a message whereby we can learn, we can grow, we can understand how important it is to be right in God's sight. He said, 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 13, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds." Paul doesn't want people to think him foolish for telling them this. He wants them to realize how important it is to understand the significance of the gospel. One interpretation is not as good as another. There's only one interpretation, and that's what God wants. He doesn't want people's minds to be blinded. He wants them to see the light of this glorious gospel that he's given, not be blinded. The inspired scriptures in 2 Timothy 3 are for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness. That pretty well sums it up, doesn't it? We want to know how God wants us to live. We want to know who God wants us to be. What are we supposed to become here? And that's what God is telling us. He wants us to understand our purpose here. What are we supposed to be doing? That the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. God wants us to be a person of good works. And this grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly. We should partake of every good work. So let every line of it be something that's important, something that enables you to commune with God. Now, if we don't have the ability to understand the scriptures How can the Holy Writings profit us in all those things that we've just mentioned? God's Word definitely accomplishes His purpose. God's testimony, as we said, enlightens men and makes them wise. It helps our understanding. It's a lamp to our feet and a light unto our pathway, as David said. He commands us to understand His words. Jesus' teachings are worded in such a way that the average person can understand them if he studies them and he meditates diligently upon them, just as those people did that we mentioned in Acts 17 and verse 11. It is simply not true that His teachings cannot be understood. Yes, the Scriptures do say that some of them are hard to be understood. That just demands more effort, more work. And yet, when people really understand how important this is, they spare no expense in time or whatever it takes to understand. There's a danger, as we pointed out, of not knowing the truth. If conflicting interpretations of the Bible are acceptable to God, then it really would not matter whether you accept the truth or whether you accept false teaching. But they are important. And the Bible says that about this, as in Galatians chapter 1, that a person is accursed if he preaches doctrine different from the true meaning of Jesus' gospel. So the idea that people can preach and practice things that contradict the Bible or contradict the gospel and yet still please God is just not so. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, God said His people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It's not that they didn't have it available to them. They just wouldn't listen. It's the same thing Jesus said as He quoted Isaiah the prophet. You closed your ears. You won't see with your eyes. You won't open your heart or mind and understand what's been given you. And I can't convert you when you won't do that. Even though the truth is right in front of you, you won't pay attention to it. In Romans 2, at the judgment, those who have not obeyed the truth will receive the indignation of God, and His wrath, His tribulation and anguish is going to come upon you. As Jesus said in Matthew 25 and verse 46, these shall go away into everlasting condemnation, but the righteous unto life eternal. There's that life again. The life that is in Christ Jesus. So knowing and obeying the truth leads to eternal life. But failure to know and to obey truth leads to eternal punishment, everlasting condemnation. Is one interpretation of the Bible as good as another? No. No more than one interpretation of our medicine labels is as good as another. No more than one interpretation is as good as another. If we're going to build a house and you look at the plans and one architect interprets it this way and another interprets it differently. We understand all of this in the world and how it works. Why can we not apply it to the Scriptures? God doesn't want us to be lost. He wants us to come to a knowledge of the truth. He wants us to recognize how significant every line of His message is. We may not understand all of it at first, but we can understand enough in order to be saved. We can understand what life in Christ Jesus is really all about and what God expects us to do. We can understand the need for faith and the need to change our lives and the need to recognize Him as Lord and Master and do what He asks. And we can understand simple commands like repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And we can understand about rising to live a new life that brings glory and honor to God. And as we grow, this is not a change that just changes everything overnight, but it's a beginning. And as we grow in that new life, each page we're writing on it as to what we know and what we've learned about God and how we're applying that in our life situations. This is for the here and the now in order that we can be in the hereafter with God. Yes, he's giving us direction. He's teaching us what we need to know, and we can be saved if we'll just listen. But there is no hope in anything else. There is salvation in no other name except the name of Jesus. So if you're here this evening and your relationship with God isn't what it needs to be, then do something about it while we stand and while we sing.